Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM. Online at 560thesource.com and on the TuneIn app. And if you want to talk to us in studio, the studio number is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. So if you'd like to talk to me about your own situation or you something I've said sparks interest and you're like, hey, I really need to talk to him about my own situation, but I'm not sure I really want to do that on the air where everybody else in the listening audience can hear, you know, because sometimes we talk about, you know, things that may be somewhat personal, like what are we going to do with your stuff when you die? And yes, you are in fact going to die. How should we deal with the end of life and all that kind of stuff? You know, these are kind of personal conversations, the kind of things that we want to talk about. We don't necessarily want to dwell on. I had a client just yesterday who she's like, oh, this is kind of a sad, hard conversation. I said, yeah, fortunately, we just spent 3 minutes on it, and now we're done. So we don't have to talk about it again. She kind of looked at me like I was nuts, which, you know, of course, we all know that I am. But I was like, you know, we'll write it down. We'll get you to sign it. Then we'll move on. So now you don't have to worry about it. And there's kind of this dawn of recognition of, oh, right. That's why we do this, so that it's not something that's hanging over your head. You know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I really need to do that. Oh, I really need to do that. Yes, you do. Just do it. Get it done. Get it, you know, finish it. Move on. I feel sometimes like I'm like this last Saturday I was up at the Boulder Senior Law Days event. And so we had a whole bunch of seniors who had come and, you know, were doing information. You know, there was a whole ask an attorney thing and presentations. And I was a sponsor, so I had a table. And people would come by and ask me questions about estate planning or law or, you know, people are like, oh, well, you're a lawyer. I have a question. Okay. Well, my next door neighbor, he has a big tree, and the big tree goes over my house. So I want to just take a saw and cut it off, and then I'm going to throw the branch back in his yard and maybe even crash the fence. Then he'd have to pay for it, right? I'm like, well, I don't do that type of law. Well, you're an attorney. You should know. Well, no.
You mean there's different kinds of lawyers, Michael?
Yes. Yes, there are. Can I finish my story, Maria? Did you want to tell it for me? That's cool. Either way.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
But it's just kind of funny. I what I always love is when people are like, they'll lay out the whole situation and they say, right, as if somehow magically I'm supposed to be like, you know what? You have thoroughly researched the law, something that I'm not familiar with in the area of, you know, homeowners and, you know, zoning and, you know, overhanging branches. You know, it's not an area of law I've really gotten into, you know, for some reason. And but there's this concept that, like, attorneys, apparently all we do is sit around and memorize laws. And we're supposed to know all of the laws and, you know, all of those things. And like, yeah, maybe I'm not good enough because I don't know all the laws. You know, I focus on estate planning. That's what I do. So if you have an estate planning question, I'd be happy to answer it. But even then, I mean, just, you know, yesterday I had a client who was almost arguing with me about what the insurance company that she was trying to deal with from her deceased husband should do. And I'm like, she's like, well, you know, doesn't the law say this? And I'm like, I don't know. Well, you should know. Well, okay, maybe I should, but I don't. And, you know, I could look it up for you, but you don't really want to pay me $200 an hour to research that, do you? I said, I think you have a valid argument. And I think that your argument you could present to the insurance company, and you can see what they have to say. Well, you know, then it should work, right? Again, you've read two paragraphs of what is a 30-page policy to me. There might be other provisions that might apply. So, you know, we need to have a discussion about this. That's the whole thing. I mean, even in estate planning, you know, there's so many. I mean, I've had clients who I've written trusts for, And they're like, well, why does your trust say, you know, reference John Rockefeller? And, you know, he's not our relative. You know, who is this John Rockefeller guy? I'm like, so you remember Standard Oil and, you know, richest guy in the world who, if you adjusted his money for inflation and such, would have been worth about $3.2 trillion? Yeah, that John Rockefeller. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, you know, he was truly a, depending on your point of view, a captain of industry or a robber baron. You know, you're one of the two. I'm, you know, probably a combination of both because usually that's how things go. You know, save the only person that I've ever read of in the Bible, I don't know that you could really characterize somebody as all good or all bad. You know, it just doesn't work out that way. So because of that, you know, we're sitting here and, you know, one of the devices that we use is to say there's obscure rule of law called the rule against perpetuities. And it boils down to dead hands can't control money for too long. You know, the actual, let's see if I can recall the statement I was forced to memorize in law school. Any interest must vest, if at all, within 21 years with some life and being at the creation of the interest. Yep, that's it. So that was really easy to understand, right, Maria? You got that?
Right, I totally got it.
Okay,
no explanation necessary.
Okay, so what did it mean?
I have no idea.
Very good. See, it's an obscure rule of law that's just kind of out there. I mean, it's been modified in Colorado. But the whole idea is that dead hands can't control money for too long. You know, and at one point, Colorado had a dynasty trust, which was a trust that could last forever, but only if you had a bank as a trustee. Now, not to go all conspiracy theorist on you, but who do you suppose was in favor of that law?
Maybe the bankers?
Not even necessarily the bankers, but the banks themselves. Because, you know, the walls were actually speaking. You know, we're coming up on Halloween time. We're going to have speaking walls, right? Sure. Why not? Yeah. I mean, you know, now there's a 1,000-year rule in Colorado where your trust can last for 1,000 years. Now, if you have enough money to make your trust last for 1,000 years, good for you. I don't. You know, I mean, I jokingly say that I recently became a thousandaire. You know, after decades of being merely a hundredaire, I became a thousandaire. And someday I hope to be a 10,000aire. But we're not going to push our luck. You know, we're just baby steps to get there, apparently. You know, maybe once my permanent life insurance doesn't have surrender values, then I can get, I don't know, whatever, save a little bit here and there. But, you know, I also have 3 kids, so they're worth a lot more than $1,000 each. But, you know, they're not really income producing. They're kind of the opposite. So, you know, valuable assets, just not from a monetary perspective. So those type of things. But we take all of this, and so I'm meeting with these people, and you know, they're asking me questions, and we're trying to figure out what to do. And you know, there's these rules of law that they're kind of, you know, they're not necessarily obscure. They're just not everybody knows about them. And so if you have a really simple situation, sometimes you don't have to know all of the intricacies of everything. I mean, you know, I get people who are like, oh, well, you know, I need you to review my will because you know, I want to make sure that it meets all the requirements. And I'm like, okay, does it say whose will it is? Yes. Does it say who's supposed to be in charge of distributing assets? Yes. All right. We're doing well so far. Does it say who things are supposed to go to? No. Okay. Now we have a problem. You're supposed to have beneficiaries. I actually went and met with somebody last week where they'd set up a will where they had the person who was making the will and they had a person who could distribute everything out and they had no beneficiaries listed. So they didn't have any, you know, they're like, well, you could distribute it out as you would like. Well, to whom? No, as you would like. Okay, I'm going to start again. To whom? Now, I realize I'm using the word whom, actually in the correct sense that way, because whom is a prepositional, to whom is a prepositional case. And, you know, if you don't know about the prepositional case, you're like most of the world. You know, I learned about the prepositional case having lived in Russia for a couple of years. And, you know, they have all their different cases and they have actually different endings of words for cases. So that's how, you know, word order is less important as the cases.
The English language actually used to be that way a long, long time ago.
It's true, but English is now a weird conglomeration of a whole bunch of different influences. You know, you've got Anglo-Saxon influences, and you've got Franco influences, and you got all sorts of different things. My brother's degree is in applied linguistics, so you know, he tells me fun stories, and by fun stories, they're almost as much fun as talking about estate planning. You know, it's thrilling, it's exciting, it's dynamic, and no, it's not. It's important, but fun, exciting, and dynamic, not the right words. So, you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 1690 KDMT. 560 KLZ. I swear I'm going to look at those stupid things that it's listed on the papers in here.
You said it very well at the beginning of the show.
I know. That's because I was looking right at it instead of thinking that I knew something, which I clearly do not. This is 560 KLZ, the source. Also heard on 100.7 FM. Is that KLZ FM or what's that one called?
It's the same, KLZ.
Okay, so still KLZ? Okay,
yes.
Good. Is it the source or is it just KLZ FM? These are important distinctions.
You can say both and either, and either one.
Sweet. Also on 560thesource.com, which is a website, so there's no alternative to that. And there is also the TuneIn app, which I don't have the TuneIn app because I don't listen to myself. It doesn't, you know, if I'm driving in the car, I'll listen to the other shows. You know, John Rush is on right afterwards. And as I'm driving home, I'm usually listening to John and Dan and all that good stuff. But phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. Now, I have people call me, and they ask me all sorts of different questions. And a lot of people call, and they just like run right into the story. Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I have two kids, and I have a house, and I have a little bit of a 401k. So, you know, what do I need to do? And I say, well, I appreciate you telling me two sentences of what needs to be a three-page story. So I'd love to meet with you and we can talk about, you know, what might be appropriate for you. You know, and then you get the people who lead with, well, how much does it cost to do this? And I'm like, okay. I do realize that price is an important consideration and cost is an important consideration for everybody, including myself. I was once, my wife and I, we'd gone to look at a whole bunch of cars. There was, in a parking lot, they'd brought in all these cars. So we were just going to look at, you know, what kind of cars were available. And there was one that we kind of liked, and so we're talking to the salesman. He's like, should we get started on the paperwork? And I said, well, how much does it cost? He says, well, what? Is price going to be a consideration here? And I said, isn't it always? And he's like, well, if you love the car, then you can make it work. And I said, okay. See, you were so close. You almost had me convinced to pursue this. But now I'm going to turn around and walk away because apparently you don't understand that price matters to everybody at every time in every situation. Thank you and you have a nice day. Now, he was all upset with me. And I'm like, come on, dude, seriously? I realize you work off commission. I realize you want to push things. But you don't have to be that obvious about it. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to discuss price with people. But one of the people that I know who they're, you know, a big marketer and that's all they do is marketing. And they've told me that price without context will kill any sale. You know, if I say, yes, well, you know, your estate plan will cost $50,000. Marie, what would you say if I said your estate plan will cost $50,000?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Wow, you'd be like nice and everything. I mean, I have a guy who in my neighborhood, he walks his dog. And he once asked me, so how much do you charge for a revocable trust? I said, well, they're usually between about $1,500 and $2,500. And he just yells out, holy cow, and goes crazy. And I'm like, whoa, dude, you asked me how much I charge. I responded with an answer. I didn't know that it was a personal affront to you that I charge the prices that I do. But apparently that was how he wanted to react. I'm like, okay, cool, great. You know, I mean, my basic estate plans I charge $500 for. Cool. Would that be more in a reasonable range for you?
Yes.
Okay, so Marie, here's a question for you. If I told you your estate plan was going to be $50,000 and you didn't react well to that, what if I gave you some context? What if you have an estate worth $50 million and my $50,000 estate plan would save you roughly $25 million in estate taxes. Would you have a different answer now that I'm saving you $25 million for a $50,000 price tag?
In this hypothetical situation, I have a $50 million estate?
That's correct.
Then, yeah, I'll totally pay $50,000.
Exactly.
I love this hypothetical situation.
Isn't it a great hypothetical situation? Yeah. So, you know, do I have lots of clients who have $50 million? No. As a matter of fact, I believe I have zero of them. But I do have a potential client who has, you know, in the $20 to $25 million range. So his estate plan is, you know, going to save $8, $9 million in estate taxes. And I'm actually going to call in my friend who does the estate tax planning work, since that's not what I do normally. You know, I want to make sure I get the right resources so that we do it right. So all of this has context. You know, many, many people have never hired an attorney in their lives. And they don't quite understand why what an attorney would charge, what they do or do not charge. You know, people who've worked with a lot of attorneys, and I tell them I charge $500 for an estate plan, they're like, well, that's pretty reasonable. That's kind of low. Yeah, I think so. Other people who've never dealt with an attorney ever are like, well, I can do the same thing online for free. They're called the same thing, but they may or may not be the same thing. And if I sit down with you and you have something that is a situation that's simple enough that I'm like, look, you really could go do the online services and pay nothing and you'll get the same thing as you would get for $500 for me, I'll tell people that. I'll be like, you know what? Your situation is simple enough. You know, like, okay, I'm going to leave everything to my spouse. If not to my spouse, then my two kids equally. And my kids are adults. Cool. Online can handle that. They really can. You know, if you want to pay me just to have the, you know, warm, fuzzy feeling that I've sat down with you, and, you know, and some people are like that. You know, you want to have somebody to be able to bounce questions off and ask and make sure you're not missing anything. You know, I can provide that. But there, you know, many people, most people who I work with have situations that are a touch more complicated than, hey, I just, you know, one spouse, everything to them, then to the two kids, moving on, done, boom, out, game.
Is there anybody who doesn't need an estate plan?
If you have absolutely nothing.
So if you were like a homeless person.
Well, even a homeless person, they usually have clothes.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So I mean, really, everybody.
All right. In all fairness, if all you have is the clothes on your back, no, it's not necessarily necessary. The other part is you can be a person who really likes the government and who really believes that the intestate statute, intestate means to die without a will. You know, I've said that all the time, but every time I use a lawyer word, I feel like I should define it. One of those deals. Anybody who dies without a will, the intestate statute says how things will get divvied up. So if the intestate statute is going to divide things to your spouse or to your kids or a combination of both, depending on, you know, what marriage you're on and who has kids and whose kids are whose and things like that, if you really like what the government has and it's going to accomplish what you want, then you don't need a will. You can just rely on the statute. That's perfectly fine, too. Most people I know. Okay, so most people I know don't look to the government to solve their problems.
I was about to say, if there's someone listening who fits that description, call in. I would love to hear from you.
Which, that they love the government?
That you love the government so much, you want to trust them with handling your money.
I know people like that.
Wow, it's hard to imagine.
I probably know two or three, actually. One works for the Internal Revenue Service. The other one is in local government. And I don't think they've ever met a program that they wouldn't want to be in control of. You know, I mean, it's the old, you know, the old saying from Lord Acton, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Once you're in a governmental position, you tend to want to, I mean, everybody does this, absolutely everybody, not just people in government. The more power you get, the more you want to, you know, and most people are control freaks. They would like to be in control of everything. So, you know, I have a couple of friends who they really believe that the government should be in control of all sorts of other things. And I kind of sit there and I'm like, you're also the ones that when there's a government that doesn't agree with you, you're the first ones to be yelling and screaming and saying, well, no, this isn't the way it should be. You know, the government should do it differently. And I'm like, well, you gave them all the power when you liked what they were doing. And now you can't just take it away because you don't like what they're doing. Maybe you should be a little bit careful how much power you give up when you like the outcome. You know, that's my conservative bent, you know, coming out. But, you know, I think you ought to be a little bit careful about what power you give up and to whom you give that power. That's just me. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 100.7 FM. See, I was looking straight at the pieces of paper that time.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you. And, you know, 560thesource.com, the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on air is 303-477-5600. My direct line is 720-394-6887. So, anyway, so I had a client who, or a potential client, I'll call them a potential client, who called me this week, and their first thing they wanted to know was how much it cost. So I said, okay, well, you know, it depends on the complexity, depends on what you need to do, and I gave them the prices. So like, okay, well, we can make an appointment. They happen to live up, you know, and not in the Denver metro area. They lived further away. They're like, oh, well, you know, I need to do an evening appointment because I work. I said, okay, because apparently, I, Michael Bailey, do not work, and neither do I have a family. Neither will My three children want to see me from time to time. So, Marie, are they, so they're in the producer's booth, they're taking selfies and such. And I wonder if they're getting the good side of the back of your head.
Probably. I don't know if the back of my head has a good side.
Well, does it have a bad side is the question. I don't even know.
I'll let them be the judge of that.
I don't stare at the back of your head all that often, so I don't know. But anyhow, so I was like, well, you know, unfortunately, I have a lot of family and church commitments in the evenings. So we set up an appointment where I could go up as close to the evening as I could. And then the person called me back and canceled just a day later. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, you know, maybe that wasn't the best working relationship with this client. You know, I think I get along well with most people. I think my prices are pretty fair. I think that I'm able to work with most people. But if there's a disconnect between what I'm willing to do and the expectations that a client has, that may not be a good working relationship. And I understand that. You know, I haven't had a lot of clients that I've had to turn down working for. I haven't had a lot of clients that I've had to say, you know what, we're not working well together. We probably ought to stop and move on. But, you know, it does happen sometimes. You know, there are people who do not like my sense of humor. They don't think that I'm funny. And frankly, I can understand why. But, you know, there's a lot of people who think that my sense of humor is totally inappropriate because, you know, we're talking about weighty matters such as death and dying. And I'm like, that's exactly why I have a sense of humor, because it shouldn't be, you know, overly burdensome. We should, like, okay, if we're going to have a little bit of fun here, you know, we're going to talk about death and dying. Let's have a little bit of fun. Let's laugh a little bit. Let's, you know, not take ourselves too seriously on the way. That's my approach. You know, not everybody takes that approach. And that's cool, too. You know, either way is fine. I know I have other people who are very concerned that it's just me, as, you know, I do have a part-time paralegal assistant who drafts things for me and will, you know, take care of clerical matters, or all of the people who signed up at the Boulder Senior Law Days who, you know, wanted me to follow up on them. I had client appointments last couple of days. So my lovely, lovely assistant named Brittany was kind enough to call all of these people and follow up on their interest. Now, Brittany, her middle name is Nicole. Her last name used to be LeBaron, and it's currently Bailey. And yes, she married me 13 and a half years ago. So it was nice of her, my lovely, lovely assistant, to call through, because, you know, she had time to do it. She likes talking to people, and, you know, she actually ended up setting a couple of appointments for me, which is kind of exciting. Yay! But it's, you know, there's only one of me. I can't do everything all at once, all the time, despite the hopes and dreams of all the people who are asking me. I actually got an email on Monday from a client who was like, so can you email me a copy of the power of attorney that we signed 2 weeks ago? Because I left mine at home and I need to send it to the realtor today. I'm like, well, fortunately for you, I happen to have the original in my bag with me, so I could run it through the scanner and send her a scanned copy of what she'd signed and be like, hey, congratulations, here you go. Now, you know, if they'd called me yesterday I drove to Colorado Springs to meet with a client. And, you know, it's a drive from, you know, from Thornton down to Colorado Springs. It takes about 2 hours.
You know. Because you are the mobile estate planner.
Indeed. And, you know, the person in Colorado Springs was 92 years old. She's going to have a tough time coming to visit me here. Plus, it's kind of a nice drive down there, and especially where it was a little bit cool and, you know, just a slight mist or rain, and it was nice. So, you know, if that particular client had called me just as I left Denver, I'm like, well, I have an hour drive down there. I'm going to be there for an hour. Then I have an hour drive back. So it'll be another 3 hours before I'm near an internet connection. So it's going to be tough. I don't carry a scanner with me. You know, I can turn my phone into a mobile hotspot so I can work on the computer and then send emails and things like that. But there's only one of me. And some people really don't like that. They're like, no, we need to work with a firm that has a team of attorneys and, you know, that has a whole everything plan in place. And if something happens to you, somebody else will step in and take over. I'm like, okay, I totally get that. I totally understand that.
I'm guessing the price would be a little different, though.
It depends. I really don't check other attorneys' prices all that often. You know, it's not something, you know, people are like, well, is that typical? I'm like, I really don't know. You know, you want to talk to the guys on 16th Street downtown? You can sit down and it'll cost you $500 just to sit down with them. You know, boom, done, game. There we go. Yeah, people who work with 16th Street attorneys downtown usually have a lot more money than someone who's coming to me for a $500 will, but hey, you know, whatever. And you know, if that's where you are at, great, by all means. You know, I'm a solo practitioner. That doesn't mean that I've ignored, you know, the possibility that I could die at some point. You know, I've planned for that. I have a couple other friends who are solo practitioners who, if I die, will transfer my clients and my client list and all of the documents to the other attorneys, and they will contact my clients and say, hey, you know what? Michael's died. You know, he was eaten by a bald eagle the other day. You know, I don't know. It seemed like a patriotic way to go, right?
Man, I want to see that eagle.
Well, I had a client who he shoots rabbits on his property and then puts them up on the berm, and the bald eagle will come and eat, you know, the rabbits that he's shot. So that's why I picked a bald eagle. But, you know, I've in my firm, I plan for things like that. But everybody has different preferences of what they do and do not want to do. In the same way that everybody has preferences who they want to work for, they have preferences of what they want to do in their estate plan. And my part of what I really need to do is figure out what you want and then figure out how we can fit what you want into the framework of how estate plans are supposed to be set up and the laws that are written and that are out there so that what you want is carried out. Sometimes there's a direct way to do it. Sometimes there's an indirect way to do it. Sometimes it's just not possible. I had a client once who wanted me to put in their will that you give money to little Johnny, but only if you married a good Catholic girl. I'm like, well, that may not be quite what we're able to do. But, you know, we have to work within the rules and within the laws to make it happen. So thanks for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey. Rush to Reason with John Rush is next, and we'll see you next week. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source, AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.